on his heart, and that you take the time to set those things of the world aside. I really appreciate, even though with all the things going on, how we can be drawn in by the Lord's Spirit and to be guided and directed for those things which are so important for our spiritual well-being. So lift him up in your prayers, I pray. I'm excited to see the message that he has here, and I know that he has put some time into it and has considered those things which the Lord has put on his heart to be able to share with you. So with that, I'll turn the pulpit over to our brother Gordon McCann.
There we go. Good morning to each one of you. It's good to see you all here. I'm looking for your smiling faces, and I see them, and I'm glad that you're happy to be here this day. The message that I have is today is it's a personal one, and I mean personal. It's going to be personal to each one of you because it has to do with the relationship. And I will explain a little more further. There was a promise, the new covenant, I call it. We find the prophet Jeremiah. He was with the dispersed of Israel when they were carried off and the temple was destroyed. They were no longer able to worship their God, carried off into Egypt. And it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And I'm going to talk about that new covenant that the prophet was speaking of today. And if I can get this thing to go forward, or maybe I should hit the right button. There we go. By his spirit and word. We find in the book of Exodus, we see this picture of Israel. They were led out of Egypt, and the Lord had given him his law. But they were going to be in the desert for 40 years in the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And it was speaking of for the whole period of time. We find a reference in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about it in the 10th chapter, in the 9th verse. He says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." Now, who were those? The ones that were where? In the wilderness. So this fire, pillar of fire at night and the cloud during the day leading Israel in the wilderness was Christ. He was with them the whole time. Christ led them for the 40 years all the way to the land of Canaan, which was the land of promise. The new covenant prophesied going on in Jeremiah, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." So you can see the setting, right? The temple destroyed. They're no longer able to see the presence of God within the temple. "After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's the promise. That was what was prophesied to Israel. So now in our day and age, we look at the words of Christ. How do we find the truth? What is going to lead us to Christ and to receive of that promise that was prophesied? We find here Jesus was speaking to those. He was by the temple. There was Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers. There were those who were following him and his teachings. They were there. Of the Jews, of the different ones that were following him. It was a large group of people, and he had been talking to them, and the lawyers were questioning him, and they came to a point in time in this verse, in chapter 8, that you find these two verses of scriptures. And he said, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." And I've quoted this verse of scripture before. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." it's very important to understand what we must avail ourselves to if we want to be made free. And that's the word of God and the words of Christ. In Alma, the 16th chapter, verse 163, you can write it down. This is Alma speaking to the Zoramites. He says, "Now behold, after you have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Neither must ye lay aside your faith, for you have only exercised your faith, what? To plant the seed, that ye might try the experiment to know if the seed was good." And I wanted to bring that to your attention because that's what those Jews did when they heard the words of Christ, standing there listening to him. They allowed themselves to think upon it. And they said, you know, that's good. I believe your words because it feels good inside. And so that's why Christ said that. All right, if you believe, you now need to continue in my word. And if you continue in that, it will lead you to all truth and you will be made free. The voice of the good shepherd, Alma 3:105. "And now I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call after you. And if you will hearken unto his voice, he will bring you into his fold, and you are his sheep." I use this scripture on purpose because it helps you understand that this spirit that I am talking about, that is going to be, as prophesied, resonant within you, it's working with all the children of men. His spirit is calling everyone who will listen. There are angels that were sent out proclaiming the words that the words of God according to the plan and purposes that he had set in order. And the testimonies of those who saw these angels, we've got them recorded in our Bible and Book of Mormon. The disciples and their testimonies, and the very words of Christ we have. But all those things has to be couched with the experience of the Holy Ghost, giving you understanding of those words. And without that understanding, that help, it would be very difficult to come to the conclusion in which the Word of God was intended for. It's important to understand that relationship. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, "I am the good shepherd." He identifies who that good shepherd is. The good shepherd, what? He giveth his life for the sheep, and that's what Christ did, that we might have life through his blood. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And that's the promise that comes from Jesus Christ himself. Not everybody listens and follows completely. It's hard for us really to understand that relationship. My wife and I had an opportunity to travel to Australia, New Zealand actually, when we went down there, and we were in Australia too, but it was in New Zealand where we saw the shepherds dealing with the sheep and how that all that relationship worked. And they knew who they belonged to because that's who took care of them, fed them, made sure that they were protected, all that. In our society now that is more urban and city, we don't see these relationships. We don't have a close relationship with some of these things that it talks about. But I'm trying to help you to understand today that there is a shepherd that is calling after you, and he wants this relationship with you. And if you want that relationship, if you want Jesus Christ in your life, he's only at the door. You have to allow him to come in and consider his words. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's predicated on how we show our love towards our God. Even our children know this. And we, as parents, desire that of our children. If they transgress those things that we do, isn't it difficult sometimes in our lives with that relationship between the parent and the child? And is the child displaying ignorance, or is he displaying rebellion? Whatever it might be, the reason why they don't want to follow the words of their parents. But this relationship, this is the true relationship that brings us eternal life. There's many out there that say we believe in Christ, but they don't follow his commandments. They don't endeavor to do it. Oh, I believe in Christ. And then they go off and do their own thing. So do they truly believe in Christ? You yourself need to ask that question. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And now this is what it was talking about when I quoted out of Jeremiah. It will be written in the hearts of the house of Israel. He will become a part of you. So, I read in John 14:15, that was, if you love me, keep my commandments. My whole basis of my sermon came from John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 18. So here we are in John 14:16. This is the new covenant, the comforter. This is what it's talking about. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, who was he talking to? He was talking to the disciples at the time. He was trying to prepare them for when he wasn't there. He walked with them. He slept with them. He ate with them. They followed him for almost 3.5 years. He was their constant companion. If they had a question, they'd ask him because he was there. If they'd done something wrong, he corrected them. He was there. If they'd done something right, he was there. He was constantly with them. And that relationship, he was telling him, I won't leave you alone. He knew he was leaving, but he was going to continue that relationship. He wanted that. Why? Because that was what was prophesied to be. So that word there is an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate, a comforter. That was the relationship that was going to come. In Ether, in the 5th chapter, verse 41, and now I would commend you to seek this Jesus of whom the prophets and the apostles have written, that the grace of God the Father and also the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of them, may be and abide in you forever. Amen. Another testimony. And this came from, I think it was Moroni was speaking at this time as he was recording the history of what we know as the Book of Ether. So in verse 17 of that 14th chapter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's important to understand. This comforter is something special. It's something different than the Spirit of God working with the individuals throughout the world. He said another comforter. And you need to understand that this is different. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwell with you and shall be in you. And it's called the Spirit of truth. That goes along with what I read in the 8th chapter, where if you continue in his word, you are his disciples and you will be made free. And it's only going to be possible as this Spirit of truth is working in your life as you continue in the words of God. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, this is John 16:13, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will shew you things to come. That's exactly what Christ said when he was there walking among them. You read it in the New Testament. He said, I give you all things the Father has commanded me to do and to say. The Father commanded him to go, that he had to be baptized. He prepared a way for him to be baptized. He fulfilled that. That's why he heard from the Father and all around him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Why? Because he showed his love for his Father. Because he fulfilled the commandments which he got from his Father. So who are we not to follow the commandments of God? When Jesus Christ himself in the flesh did the same thing. That's an important question to ask ourselves. This word sanctify is to make holy. Did you read in here? Forgive me, it's right here. In 17:14-17, I pray that not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, all these people that were followers of Christ. He's praying to his Father. Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. And that's what this is going to help you with. This comforter is going to help you with that challenge in your life. They're not of the world. Why? Because they made a covenant with their God to be part of that fold, to receive this another comforter. Even as I am not of the world, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 14 in the 26th verse says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. It's a tool that God has given us. He is with us. He's within and inside of us. And he will teach us if we will allow it to work in our life. And he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. That means that's why Christ said what he said, you continue in my word. Because that Holy Spirit, that comforter is going to bring those things back to your remembrance. It's going to help you, especially exactly when you need it. He will bring those thoughts and those different things there to strengthen you and help you in whatever instance that you need that help. No different than the disciples when they were walking with Christ and they encountered these different things and they didn't fully understand. Now, I have some examples of this, but that was when Christ was with them and he spoke to them. And then after his resurrection, then we will see how the Spirit worked with them. So John 2:16-17 is said, and said unto them that sold doves. Now remember this scene, Christ was there, he was at the temple, and he makes a statement, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And he was chastening those that were there because they had polluted the things of the law of Moses in the temple. And so what did the disciples? And his disciples remembered that it was written, even at that moment, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And that was in Psalms 69:9. So they were familiar with the words of God, so that when Christ spoke those words, the Spirit of God helped them to understand it. Another one in 19 and 20. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. And he was speaking to those outside the temple, but he was what? What was he speaking about? He was speaking about himself, wasn't it? Then said the Jews, 46 years. And that was a true statement. They had worked 46 years. They were rebuilding the temple. And they had just completed it just prior to the coming of Christ. Wilt thou rear it up 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture. Do you see the connection? How the Holy Ghost, that comforter, confirms the words and helps you to understand the truthfulness of them? And that's what he's speaking about, that it can happen in your own life. Another one, Peter. How many times did the Lord had to correct Peter? And we read in the scriptures. In his zeal, he would say something, and the Lord would have to correct him for it. Because where was that coming from? That was coming from his personal thoughts and feelings. And that's very important to understand. Because we're no different than Peter of the day. As many times we act on our feelings instead of acting in a way that the Lord would have us to act. It feels good, so we should do it. Well, that's what Peter said when they had the transfiguration. What was the first thing he did? Lord, this is a good thing that we saw this. Let's build these little monuments to each one that we saw there. And if you notice, the Lord didn't say anything. Who said something? They heard a voice. This is my son, hear he him. So the Father corrected them, not Christ, because that was wrong. We can understand why Peter did that, right? Well, Jacob, he did that in the wilderness. All of the different patriarchs at the time, they did that. They would put an altar out there and make a sacrifice because it was an experience. They saw an angel, whatever it was. They had an experience, a dream. But that wasn't the case now. All things became new with Christ. And he missed the point. And so the Father himself had to correct Peter. But here it says, and as began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And this particular experience was, Peter, he's talking to his fellow brothers back there in Jerusalem, how the Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that comforter, right? And Peter was on board at the time too. The Gentiles, they're the Gentiles. And they weren't thinking right about how this Spirit of God would be given to all, not just to Israel. And the Lord had to give him a dream about clean and unclean. You remember that? What the Lord said was clean is clean. And he was speaking, he was relating that to the Gentiles. And so now Peter has this experience, he changed his mind, right? Again, now he understands what the Lord was trying to tell them because he saw it, he witnessed it. And so he remembered those words of the Lord that there would be a baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what else does the Comforter do? He intercedes for us, and we can find that in Romans in the 8th chapter. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings and without which cannot be uttered. Think about that. Think about that. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints what? According to the will of God, not according to the will, our will. He sees in our hearts, and we're in the flesh, and there's things that we don't understand or we want help with or whatever it might be in our lives. And sometimes we don't know how to approach the Lord in these things, and sometimes we won't turn it over to Him. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. What's interesting is that John Gill, he's a commentator from the 1800s, he says, it may be rendered, he maketh intercessions for holy things according to God. For spiritual blessings, divine favors, things that belong to God, or divine things which are agreeable to His nature and will. I remember a time, a personal time in my life, when I had a very serious thing that I needed to have resolved in my heart and mind. And I had prayed about it. And I had prayed about it earnestly. And I was very, very distraught. And one time I prayed to the Lord with all my heart, and His Spirit rested upon me. And I had peace, but I interpreted it in my own humanness. I interpreted in my own mind what that meant, what that was going to be in my life for this particular problem. And that was not the plan of God. But He loved me enough to give me peace. He loved me enough to know He's in control. Let me take care of it. And you come along for the ride. Does that make sense? Has that happened to you in your life? The thought that I had was not the perfect will of God for me in my life, but He was acknowledging me because of my humility and contriteness and wanting Him to help me. And so when I allowed Him to do that, He gave me that peace. It played out in my life. And when I saw it play out, I said, praise God. I'm thankful that it wasn't the thing that I thought it was. It was the thing God ordained for me to help me in my life. That's the importance of relying on that comforter to be in your life, active in your life. And if it's not there every day, you need to deal with that. If you want Him in your life, you need to reconcile yourself that it might be active in your life, helping you in all those things in your life. It's a comforter. Even to the point where He's going to make intercessions for us before God in our behalf. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That comfortless is, if you notice the Greek word, orphanos, or orphans. He's not going to leave you as an orphan. Or parentless. There's only one other time it's used in the scripture, this particular word, and that's where it's used by, I think it's James, the fatherless. You can find that. And that's another where comfortless is interpreted as fatherless. He won't leave us. He claims us. Romans 8, 14 through 74, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God, or the sons and daughters of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. If you have walked that path all the way and made you free in following the words of Christ, following Him into the waters of baptism, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, that another comforter, and allow Him to work in your life, you're adopted. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's how close that relationship is. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Paul to Timothy, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance," that's 2 Timothy 1:6-7. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." He's talking to someone that he loves very much. And Timothy had followed the word of God, entered into the waters of baptism, received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and now is being called into the ministry. But Paul is saying, "I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands," meaning that Paul himself laid his hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." If you think about it, when you go on any kind of social media, what are you seeing? All kinds of nonsense. People all riled up, all stirred up, agitated. No one, it seems like, has those attributes. I hope and pray that those of you that have made that covenant and have that comforter with you, that you don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, that charity for all mankind, and of a sound mind. Why? Because he will guide you in everything, no matter what it is. So what's the consequences of sin? "And if you will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which you are called, behold, you are not the sheep of the good shepherd." I don't care if you're baptized or not. If you don't hearken to his voice, what happens? In Ether, in the first chapter, this is what happens. "For ye shall remember that my spirit will not always strive with man. Wherefore, if you will sin until you are fully ripe," and only God makes that determination, "you shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord." His spirit will not work with you anymore. And you're left alone on your own devices. So the pathway to salvation, I love this because it puts it very succinctly and in order. You find it in Moroni in the 8th chapter, verse 26. The first fruits of repentance is baptism, meaning that that is the first thing that we personally do, to prove our love to God, keeping his commandments. That's what that means. Our first fruits of repentance, meaning that we acknowledge there's a God, we're going to follow him just as his son was entered into the waters of baptism, so are we. We're going to follow the words of God. And he got it from his father with that promise. And baptism comes by faith. So we've shown that we've exercised our faith. Do we know everything about the gospel? No. It's our beginning. It's the beginning of our faith when we enter into the waters of baptism. Unto the fulfilling of the commandments. If we haven't taken the first step, that spirit, how's that going to work in your life, that comforter? It's not. And we're left to our own devices if we continue to ignore it. That's the hard part about it, if we're not careful. And the fulfilling of the commandments, what? Bringeth remission of sins. That's the promise that comes with that. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. Why does that happen? Because we finally humbled ourselves and said, "Not our will, thy will be done, Father. We will follow your words, the words of your Son. And we will enter into that covenant with you. Because we want to be part of you in your kingdom." We want to be loved by you, and we want to show our love for you. And we can't do it without following his commandments. And they're not grievous. And they're not hard to do. The only reason why they're hard to do is we won't give ourselves, our hearts, to our God. That is it. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, and that's that comforter. That's another comforter, as Christ was speaking of. Not the workings of the Holy Ghost as it works among all the children of men, but it is the visitation of the Holy Ghost, the purification that comes with it, the forgiveness of our sins, and claiming us as part of him, an adopted heir, as his son. Sons and daughters, destined for the kingdom to come. Which comforter filleth what? With hope and perfect love. It helps us with that. We understand it. Once we experience this, we can understand that. We understand these words. And all we can say is, Abba, Father. Praise be to God. For you love me enough, even in my sins, to reclaim me, that I might be a part of you. And I showed it by keeping your commandments. My willingness, my heart, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer. It doesn't end there. Until the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. The promise. We are claimed of God. And quite honestly, if you really want to understand that, and how very important those words there are in Moroni, you go to 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter, and you read verses 32 through 43. And before you read them, you ask the Lord to witness unto you of those words. 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter. These are the words of Christ. It's his doctrine. Verses 32 through 43. Children of Christ, this is a picture of what can be now in this life. Not in the kingdom age, but in this life among us, all of us who have made that covenant with God. Here in the 4th Nephi, in the 1st chapter, is only one chapter, in the 20th verse. We find a people after Christ was there with them, taught them the commandments, and he left. And they had the gospel of Christ with them. They had the shepherds, everything. The church was established then. And this was what happened when they allowed the Spirit of God to work with them fully, completely. There were no robbers, no murderers, neither were there Lamanites nor any manner of ites, but they were in one. The children of Christ. And what? Heirs to the kingdom of God. You can find the same thing in Isaiah 4, starting with the 2nd verse, talking about this time. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped. Meaning, have come to the kingdom age and was able to come and be with Christ during the millennial reign. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called what? Holy. Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. This, what we see in Nephi, is a preparatory state to what is to come. The kingdom age with Christ. Well, I just read it. These are those words. I hope and pray that I've made some sense this day concerning the gift of the Holy Ghost. The world cannot receive it. And you can only receive it through the keeping of the commandments of God. And it is a vital tool that we need today, because there is no truth out there in the world, as you can see it, as being broadcast. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a thought. But there's only one truth, and that comes through God and through His Spirit, because He only speaks those things of God. And as in Galatians 4:6, it's the Spirit of Christ that was given to us. That's why He says, I won't leave you alone. It's the Spirit of Christ. When you read in Moroni, when we offer the prayer over the bread and the wine, guess what? It says that we might have who? His Spirit to be with us. Whose Spirit is that? The Spirit of Christ. That's what it's saying. And it's going to be with us. He's going to walk with us. He's going to be our partner in this life. And when we lay this body down, then we'll be able to go and rest in peace, waiting for the day to be a part of that kingdom age. May God bless us in these things. It's important for each one of us to thoroughly consider the commandments of the Lord and where we stand before Him, because He will judge us accordingly. May God bless us in these things, I pray.